Good evening. It's great to be back for our 21st shiur on the Sefer Chafetz Chaim Klal Tes. And we'd like to begin with a very special mazel tov to Herb, and then Tamar Shbacha on the engagement of her daughter, Alana. Oh, beautiful. Continued nachas and yishabil b'ayis nama
b'yisrael. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday as well, too.
Linden.
Very nice. Happy birthday to Linden. Should have a very happy birthday. B'zichus your birthday. We should all learn Sefer Chafetz Chaim. Okay, last time we were together, we learned Chafetz Chaim discusses praising individuals, and sometimes praising individuals could cause problems. And we spoke about how does a rabbi or a speaker praise the chassan, how does Ofer for the bar mitzvah boy, and we spoke about related issues. The Chafetz Chaim has a halacha here, which is unbelievable because a shaila, which is going to emanate from these words of the Chafetz Chaim, happened to me last week. And I'll tell you the question first, then we'll see the Chafetz Chaim. A good friend of mine, I don't want to give away too many details, he works for, runs a yeshiva. Okay, it's not my brother in Shaar Tzion. This is a friend in Israel. And he comes in twice a year. We're old friends. He always comes to my house. Give him some tzedaka. We talk about the yeshiva organization. We catch up a little bit. He said, oh, you're a rabbi in town. I'm sure you know who the balei tzedaka are in town. Can you do me a favor? Are you comfortable calling them for me? If not, will you give me their phone numbers? And I'll cold call them. Will you give me their address? I'll knock on their door. That's what he asked me to do. So, not getting into whether I should be comfortable with that, should I, in my position, is it even mutter to do that? If someone says to me, hey, you're a fundraiser, who'd you get money from in town? I want to knock on their door. Is that, maybe it's usher, maybe it's mutter, maybe I'm obligated to help more organizations. This came up last week, and the poskim talk about that based on this Chafetz Chaim. It's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. It actually happened one other time. Someone came here from Maariv collecting money. He said, so-and-so, I heard, gives a lot of money to tzedakah. Can you show me his house? He didn't know him. He didn't have an appointment. He wanted to knock on his door. Is that allowed? Are organizations allowed to share their lists? Right. Sometimes you have phone calls from organizations. I have no idea how they got my phone number. I'm assuming they got it because there's a different organization I once got on their list and they sell their list. That issue. So the Chafetz Chaim says as follows. This is Klal Tes, Siv Gimel, on page 3 of last week's packet. Page 3 on the bottom, and Os Gimel, Siv Gimel. Gam yesh lo l'odom lizaher a person has to be careful not to praise their friend with a praise that could lead to a loss. What would be an example of that? There's a guest. A guest comes to town. He goes out into the marketplace. He goes out into the public place. He goes to the park. And he announces, as Asher Gimolo Balabayis Tova Bachila Ushasia Vitarach Lefanavarbe. I'm a visitor. I go to Florida for Shabbos. And there's a random person in Florida who hosted me, and the food was delicious, and the accommodations were amazing. They let me use their private pool Friday afternoon, and the food was outrageous Friday night. They had a separate wing for me, and it was unbelievable. They took care of me with this, they took care of me with that. Slippers like a hotel and a towel and a bathrobe and everything. I come back and I'm going to put it in the shul bulletin. If anyone's going to Miami for winter vacation, call so-and-so. They're amazing. Says the Chafetz Chaim, we have to be careful with that. Why? Ki ayidei zeh yislaktu anashim reikim v'yasuru el beis balabayis v'yichalu es mamono. So what's going to happen? Everyone's going to gather by this person. But not just everyone. The reikim. What are the reikim? The empty ones. The people who are not appropriate. The people who have ulterior motives. What will they do? They're going to get to this balabayas and they're going to get all his money. and they're going to bother him nonstop. So says the Chafetz Chaim, my positive word can cause a loss to this individual. The poskim say that to tell people who are hagun, who are proper, who are appropriate, that's not a problem. If I tell you, oh, how are you going to Florida? Stay at so-and-so's house. They're incredible. They're very hot. Their hospitality is through the roof. They love having people over. I trust you. You're good people. You're not going to go ahead and just take advantage and bother this person and cause problems and steal his money. So then it'll be mutter. The issue isn't that I'm telling people. The next halacha we'll see next week is about telling secrets. Can I tell people just things that people tell me? But if I'm worried that it's going to lead to people who shouldn't be there taking advantage, then it's forbidden for me to say that. And it's based on the Gemara. If you take a look at the second packet I gave out today, there's a few lines in the Gemara I want to see. On the second page, I gave you the art scroll. If you want to see it in the art scroll, it might be easier to follow. The Gemara says, it's on the art scroll on the bottom left, where the arrow is. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came, he said, my dichsiv, what's the meaning of the pasuk mivarech re'eyu b'kol gadol baboker hashkem? If one blesses his friend loudly from early in the morning, klala techashev lo, it's considered a curse. So what does that mean? How could me praising, blessing my friend loudly, how is that a curse? Kigon, I'm sorry, it's cut off. Kon de mikla lush pizza, a person visited a host, the tarchu kame shapir, and the host extended themselves greatly for this visitor. Nafik, lamachar, nafik, yasev b'shukah. The next day he goes out, sits in the marketplace of Amar, rachmana nevarche lapalia. Hashem should bless so-and-so, because he's tarach kamai. He extended himself in this way. And what's going to happen? What? I didn't number it, I apologize. It's the back of the first page. Yeah, 24... A. No. Number one. It's cut off on the right side. I apologize. It says on the top, Yesh Ba'arachin, chapter 3, Arachin. The back of page 1. What would be page 2 in the packet? The part that's cut off, I apologize. A person says, God should bless this person because they were so good to me. And then what's going to happen? Shamina inshi va'azlin va'ansimle. People are going to hear, they're going to go, and they're going to steal from him. So a praise that can lead to a loss is also included in Lashon Hara. This is so much true. This is so true that you're even on a lie. The Gemara Bava Metzia, it's on the next page of this packet. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, remember it. It's the page where there's that triangle on the left side. All the way on the bottom, right, it says on top, Eil Metzios Perek Sheni. There's an arrow on the bottom left. I'm sorry again, I didn't number it. Omer Le'er Yehuda Meshmuel Behani Plus Mili Avidi Rabbanon Dim Mishaneu Bimilayu. There are three things that the rabbis would lie about. Normally, there's an Isser in the Torah to lie. Midbar Sheker Tirchak. A person can't lie. There's an Isser Daraisa to lie. There are three things the rabbis can lie about. Meseches, Puria, and Ushpiza. So you have like a machlokas about all these. Rashi says, Meseches, what does it mean, Meseches? If I say, Ari, do you know Baba Kama? Ari's allowed to say, nah, I don't really know Baba Kama. Why would Ari want to lie about that? It's humility. If a person knows everything, so... if a person feels like they know something, they're allowed to lie and say, nah, I don't really know it, to remain humble. Tosa says that can't be, because the Torah says that Mishinantam, the Torah should be on our fingertips. So if someone asks you a question, and you know the answer, you shouldn't say, I don't know. That's not, that's false humility. You're trying to help people learn. Tosa says, if someone's like trying to test you, if someone's bothering you, and they're testing you. Yeah, what's the third line of Daf Chav Gimel Beis? They don't have a question. If you have a question, so you're obligated to answer. But if they're just testing you to be annoying, so then you're allowed to lie. The Rambam says, interestingly, if you're in the middle of learning Baba Kama and someone asks you a question on Masechet Shabbos, you're learning Baba Kama. It can be distracting to switch and start learning Shabbos. You could say, I don't know. Okay, that's Masechet. Puria relates to issues of marital relations. People see the beds, they see this, they see things going on. You're allowed to lie to preserve tznius. Ushpiza, so Rashi explains, is that if you went to a host and people asked you, how was it? If you're going to say, oh, it was amazing, they're incredible, everyone's got to go to the goldsmith's house, the food is unbelievable, then people are going to go. Who shouldn't go? So if someone asks you, oh, how is it by Goldsmith? You're allowed to say, oh, that's not so good. Not so good. You might not want to... You're helping. I'm helping you. I'm not hurt. So you're even allowed to lie. So, to tell everyone it's amazing could become Lashon Hara. Because that... You're not saying anything bad about them, but you're saying words which cause damage. Saying words which cause damage is a problem of Lashon Hara.
Okay, let me ask you this. Today I got...
Give me 10 seconds. Okay, let me read one more sentence. Back in the Chafetz Chaim on page 3, just to finish this point. He brings this out very clearly. Umizeh yesh lomod. It's line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth line back in the first packet, page 3. From here you can learn. Dehu adin, similarly. Im echad hisig alva meis chavero. A person got a loan. Someone lent him money. Oh, it's amazing. Shloimi lends me money. You don't have to worry about getting approved for a mortgage. You don't have to worry about your credit score. Shloimi lends me money. So what's going to happen? It's very common. Bad people can't get a mortgage. They're going to start going to this guy. He might not know everyone's character. Man. You're not going to be able to remove yourself from them. Therefore, it's another example to go start telling people, oh, I got a loan, telling everyone. I got to tell someone who's honest, you can tell them. But to start announcing in public, yes, yeah, so-and-so lends anyone money, so all these people shouldn't be borrowing money, are going to come borrow money, and that's going to cause a damage. So it's a shevach, it's a praise, which causes a damage. You had a question?
Yeah. So today I get this thing, so I don't know if you heard, I'm sure you did, because you're in
Chinuch. Uh-oh. Every time someone says
that. That they came down on New York now with the yeshivas.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they want them to have 7.5 hours of secular studies.
Right.
But the public schools only have 5.5 hours of secular studies.
Right.
And that if they don't start this, if they don't implement it by February, they have till February to implement it. And if they don't implement it by February, then they have to, then they're going to, and the parents... The kids are going to have to be pulled out of the school. And if the parents don't pull, then the board of ed is going to go against the parents.
Right.
So they want everybody to get together and start a whole big thing. They want you to sign petitions, they want you to write letters. But where isn't that also, like, people can start talking when you start doing it that way? Here they're trying to protect a yeshiva, because they said the yeshivas don't have money to fight it in court. But the yeshivas also can't provide.
So what's the issue with logic? Who you
so
bring damage to?
So I'm saying, I got a thing from one of the big.
Tormasora, or that good, right?
Yeah, he sent out a thing, but he wants everybody to start talking and to start sending letters. But once you start talking, then this one talks to that one.
Yeah, but who's being hurt? Who's potentially being hurt by that?
I'm saying you don't know, but who's gonna end up being hurt? Because they're gonna say, "Oh, well, this yeshiva is no good because this yeshiva doesn't want to do this and that." Yeshiva
you have to be careful. You have to be careful who you're going to. You're right. You have to be careful.
So I'm saying, even we're trying to protect something. We want the kids to have yeshiva education.
So you have to know. I think most people are reasonable and understand that this is a problem. I guess if you're talking to a.
They said that they're
if you're talking to an ex-chassid who's very angry that he never got an education.
And they're talking to the yeshivas.
Right.
They're talking about the yeshivas that the boys get 2 hours a week of secular studies.
Right.
And they're talking to the yeshivas that you're going to have have 4 or 5 hours, you know, like just like the yeshivas in New Jersey. You sure. know, you go to JC, you go to any of the other schools,
right.
they have X amount of hours or something.
Our boys do very well on the APs, though. I think they're getting enough checklists to face.
But they said that was the big comparison. They said that even in the yeshivas, where they the boys' yeshivas, where they have very little secular, but they still have to require to take the regents, there's still some of them.
They outperform.
I think the lowest school was still 80% higher than what the public school kids rank on a...
Right. This is not a conversation now, but it's not necessarily analogous
like
because of the... Yeah, right. Yeah, I think most people... Yeah, every case is different. You have to know who you're talking to and what the case would be. So the question now becomes, where does the Tzedakah case fit in? If I tell someone, if I'm at... I know some of these executive directors, they have a conference. There was a conference in Florida for the executive directors of the modern schools. I know there's a group of the more yeshivish places, executive directors, they get together. Can they share a list? There's the president's conference. Torah Masorah is the president's conference. A lot of the big fundraisers go, can they share a list? Hey, listen, give me your top 10 donors. I want to go to them. Is that mutter? Or is that a problem of this pasuk? Mevarech rei b'kol gadol b'boker hashkeim klal techashev lo. So they asked Reb Chaim Kanievsky's question. I have it in here. You can take a look later in the packet. Reb Chaim asked Reb Chaim, is it mutter? Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita. This is in the first packet, only on page 9. He says, is it mutter to tell a Gabbai Tzedakah the names and addresses of all the big wealthy people in town? And Reb Chaim said, we spoke about this once, and this is a shayla of Mivarech Rei B'Kol Gadol. He doesn't say it's usher. He doesn't say it's mutter. It sounds like he's saying it's at least a suffix that it's usher. This is a shayla of the halacha, mevarech rei b'kol gadol. It's a problem. It sounds from Chaim Kanievsky, which is very interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a fascinating tshuva. It's on page... I'm not going to read it inside. It's on page 8. Our Yoda question.
I'm just going to ask, would there be other considerations if the rabbi has like professional, responsibility...
Yeah, so there is, we spoke about this way earlier, about is there a confidentiality between rabbi and congregant? We saw the law, there was a lawsuit because there was a lady, we spoke about this a long time ago, there was a lady who told her rav that in her battle with her husband, that she stopped going to the mikvah. And didn't tell her husband. This way, every time they were together, he'd be chayav karis. Not on purpose, but that was her way of getting back at her husband. And the rav told her husband because he had to save him from the isser of being with a woman who was in either without going to the mikvah. And she sued that there was the clergy, congregant, confidence. We discussed this. I don't remember now. This year's been on for a year and a half right now. I don't remember. This was very early on. I don't remember. I have to take a look at my notes. What ended up happening there? I don't know if this is a confidence thing. Now, I wouldn't do it because I don't think it's right as a rabbi if you know someone comes to you and is helping you with a cause for the shul or is helping with the family to start throwing that name out to other people. People would be annoyed. I would be, and I don't know, if someone has that much money, maybe it's different. You know, I wouldn't do it. I don't think it's appropriate. I don't think it's professional. I maybe ask the person, hey, so and so needs, you know, money. Are you okay if I give them your number? Then they have the prerogative to say yes or no. Rav Moshe, it's not getting to the whole tshuva. Rav Moshe says it's absolutely mutter. That's absolutely mutter, unless it's a person who you know will be angry. It's absolutely mutter. Why? He says, there's a chiyuv maaser. Most people, says Rav Moshe, did not give maaser. So if they not give maaser, you're helping them. Even if they give maaser, says Rav Moshe, at the time that you're giving the information over, they probably haven't given maaser yet because most people make a chesed from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So unless it's right before Rosh Hashanah or right before December 31st when people make their Meiser calculation, they probably haven't fulfilled their 10% Meiser yet. So you're actually helping them fulfill their Chiyuv. It's a mitzvah. And even if they gave Meiser, he said that Meiser is not like the highest Madrega. The highest level is Ad Chomesh. It's up to 20%. So even if the person gave 10%, they have the prerogative to say no. There's no problem of Mevarech B'Kol Gadol. There's no problem of telling people. It seems to be against the Reb Chaim Kanievsky. At least Reb Chaim Kanievsky had a suffix. Rav Moshe writes that it's absolutely no problem. Not only that, says Rav Moshe, it is a good thing. He says the wealthy person whose name was given out, Adaraba Yesh Lo Lahakir Tovalo, Al Shagaram Shayitin Yoser Litztaka. Unbelievable. He says if the wealthy person comes and finds out that you gave their information out, they should come and they should thank you. Thank you for allowing me to give more tzedakah. That's where Moshe Feinstein talking. I'm not sure most people feel that way. If the person would be angry, or if the person might not have the money and is going to be embarrassed to tell the person he has the money, Senator Moshe says it would be a problem. But the absence of that, Senator Moshe, is absolutely, doesn't mean you should. I think as a rabbi, it might be a different story, but says Rav Moshe, you could.
Where was all this learned out from?
That Gemara in Erchin that we saw, which says that the Pasuk, which says, Mevarech Re'eu B'Kol Gadol B'Boker Hashkem, a person gets up early and calls out about his friend a blessing, Klala Techashiv, it's a Pasuk. It's a Klala. It's a curse. It's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Perak Chav Zayin Pasuk Yudal. The Gemara says what that Pasuk means is to go, if you go to a city and you were taken care of and you were hosted and they took care of you and they extended beyond what they needed to extend for you to go out and go to the marketplace and start announcing that, so that's a problem. You're causing a person to get a loss. So maybe by me telling someone that Ploni is a big gevir, he's very wealthy, gives a lot of tzedakah, he's going to have 50 people knocking on his door. That's right. The one time someone comes to your door collecting tzedakah, one time you go in, you're guaranteed the next couple months to have many, many people. Because now they have your name in the thing. Now what I do, because right when we moved here, we had lots of people coming by, and I asked Rabbi Lubin. Rabbi Lubin said, and don't misquote me on this, so make sure you listen to the whole sentence, he said, don't give them any money. Take the envelope, and if you want to send in money, send in a check. That's what he said. He says, because the drivers take like 40%. So any cash you're giving them, the tzedakah is only getting around 60%. So he says, you can look at the tudah. If you think the tudah is good, and they have a tudah, and you're inclined to give tzedakah, he says what he always does, he asks them for the dress, and he mails a check. Then you know that 100% of your money is going to the tzedakah, not to the driver. Why throw away money to pay a driver?
Sometimes, you know, it's like an American fry. Or someone who's...
doesn't have a check, right?
She doesn't have an organization or an envelope. Right. Or anything. She just collected for herself.
But, yeah, I'm not saying... He wasn't saying don't to get... Again, every case is different. But a lot of times, there's one, and then there's another guy, and then 2 seconds later, there's another guy.
Yeah.
Take it off. I invite them in. I'll give them, if it's cold, I'll give them a hot cup of tea or a cup of coffee, or for them... depending if there's any dinner left over, because they're not giving 40% of the apple or the tea to the driver. But again, it's Baruch Hashem. If we have the means and we can do it, so great. But that's Rav Moshe is saying it's not a problem based on that Gemara. One other point. The Pasuk of Mishlei. The Pasuk of Mishlei and the Gemara that derives it. This was interesting. Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was asked, let's say there's a wealthy person who's cheap or he's difficult. Can I tell the fundraiser that? Or is that Lashon Hara? Lashon Hara. Says Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, if you're telling it to him so that he can figure out a way to raise the money, then it's mutter. If it's just stam to bash the guy, oh, it's cheap. Guy's gonna get stuck, it's terrible. So that's, of course, us here. But if someone says to you, oh, what's so-and-so like? And you want to say, listen, he's very difficult, he's a little bit cheap, You have to find the chop to get him to be able to donate money. So then, that's l'toelis. That's what Rav Chaim Kanievsky says. I want to mention one other point, which I think is another practical example of this case, which does come up. Rabbi Chana Wasserman, Hashem Yukom Damo, Zichr Tzak Levracha, he says, I'll give you another reason why it's a problem, another manifestation of this halacha of praising someone which could lead to be Lashon Hara. And this, as a teacher, as someone in Shiduchim, you might have this a lot. If you overly praise a person to a greater degree than they deserve, you could be causing them a damage in two different ways. Number one, you might cause them to become arrogant. And that's a damage. You keep on praising them, they think they're amazing, they're not so amazing, it leads to arrogance. Okay, interesting. Then he says it's a bigger problem. What happens if you praise someone too much, and now they get a job that they're not really fit to have? What's going to end up happening? The job's not going to work out. Let's say you overly praise someone, or Chana Wasserman says this, and they have a shidduch. That's not really for them. This does happen. People exaggerate the tzidkus of the person, how amazing they are, and how nice they are, and how caring they are, and how put together they are, and how wonderful they are. And then they get a shidduch, which is maybe five bars above where they should be. So sometimes it could work out. But it might not. The one spouse might not respect their spouse. They thought they're a man of grace, and the guy can't barely read Chumash Rashi. So that's not a shidduch that's going to work out well. You're causing the guy damage. As a teacher, this happens all the time. We want to praise the boy in his report cards. We want to write an amazing letter of recommendation for it to get into Yeshiva X. To whatever the hard yeshiva. We want it. Please, Rabbi, do me. We write a praiseworthy letter of recommendation. We exaggerate a little bit, or we are very effusive in our praise. He gets into yeshiva. It might not be a good fit for him. Every year, their boys who go to yeshiva, or we give them a great report, and they get next year they're in the honor shir, but they shouldn't be in the honor shir, and then they start drowning. You're causing them damage. You're praising them, but that's lashon hara. It's words that are positive. You mean so well. But it's words that can end up damaging them if they get a job, a shidduch, or in a college, in yeshiva, that they shouldn't be in. You're not really helping the person. So that's something also to keep in mind. Okay, we will stop here. And everyone should have a wonderful evening.